Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And today's conversation is with Lynn Scarlett, Assistant Secretary for Policy, Management, and Budget at the U.S. Department of Interior. And joining me is another PWCer, Ken Bresnahan. Well, Lynn, in our conversations about the mission and activities of the department, you described a lot of things. And I noticed there were several landmarks near Manhattan. So I'm wondering how the events of 9/11 disrupted things or what management challenges they brought.
Obviously, 9/11 throughout the entire government, federal government, and frankly state and local, has been an enormous challenge for us. For the Department of the Interior, we really do have a lot of critical infrastructure. We have, as I mentioned earlier, a number of the dams, Hoover, Glen Canyon, Shasta, etc. And we have a lot of national icons. People think America, they think, guess what, Statue of Liberty, they think the Washington Monument. Those truly are emblematic of who America is. So we did have to face immediate challenges of ensuring the protection of those facilities. And right in the New York area, of course, we have, and I did not know this until 9/11, we're one of the largest landowners or landholders in the Manhattan area. There are the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island and a lot of other lands that are Department of the Interior managed lands. We also have Federal Hall, which was where George Washington was sworn in. It's about three blocks from the World Trade Center. So when the World Trade Center collapsed, it was the equivalent of about a 6.5 earthquake in terms of its impact on the ground. That caused some cracking damage of Federal Hall, and we did have to go in and figure out how to ensure the structural integrity of that building. We played a big role right on that day because of our National Park Police presence in New York, of providing some additional help in that terrible, terrible disaster that drained all of the manpower of every police force and emergency force in the area. A lot of people fleeing the site ran to Federal Hall for protection. It was an area of refuge. People came in to get away from the dust, to get away from the calamity. So we set up kind of a mini healthcare center there. So, I mean, we were right on the ground working right there. The 9/11 affected us in other ways. We have 4,300 law enforcement, federal law enforcement agents, National Park Police, Park Rangers, Fish and Wildlife Rangers, Bureau of Indian Affairs, Bureau of Land Management. Their resources all were tapped to help out, whether it was in the Air Marshal Program or protecting all of these infrastructures. So we played a very direct role, and of course the challenges are ongoing. We have a special challenge because our mission is access to lands, recreation. We can't simply become a fortress. We have to keep our Washington Monument open to people. That's what it's there for. So how do you balance that access with protection?
Well, Lynn, that certainly highlights the importance of having well-trained federal employees available to help in a crisis and emergency. And we hear almost constantly about the wave of retirements that are about to begin or perhaps have already begun. What steps has Interior taken to prepare for this wave of retirements?
Interior is, like many other agencies, facing some looming retirements. And one of the things that we've done as part of our ongoing effort to address that is to try and develop an overall workforce planning strategy, identify, first of all, who are those people that are about to retire, what kinds of jobs are they in. We've learned, for example, that about 20% of our workforce that's trained in property management and acquisitions and procurement is going to retire in the relatively near future. That means, by golly, we've got to get folks like that trained. Likewise, in certain other key areas, we're facing big percentage of people that are about to retire. So we've done a couple things. We have a really innovative internship program. On the procurement and acquisition side, we launched it a few years ago. We've revved it up. This year we had 700, I think, applicants to come in and go through special training. They do an internship with procurement and acquisitions people. They go through special training. And we're hopeful, and in fact it's already borne fruit to some extent, that some of these people say, wow, this is a really cool place to work. We're going to have our careers here. We've done the same on financial management. We have a real need for financial managers, and we've created an internship program there with a similar result. Lots of people saying, I'd like to go try that. The National Park Service, quite creative, has recognized that it has a dearth of MBAs, just folks who really are trained in business management. So they have a special business plan program. They bring interns in from MBA schools, and they actually work with the park superintendents developing business plans. And as part of that internship program, what we're finding is people say, gee, I thought I was going to go work in some corporation. This is kind of cool to be working at some wonderful national park and applying my business skills. So some of them are staying on, and that's the kind of thing we're doing.
How about technology workers?
Well, we need technology workers as well, really across all these fronts. Mm-hmm. Where we have identified key needs, those are the areas where we're developing. Now, I don't believe we have quite as large an internship program like we have for financial management or acquisitions and procurement in the realm of technology per se, but there is a tremendous need there. And I'll tell you what there really is a need for is not so much just people with technical expertise, but people who combine technical expertise with management experience and can do that crosswalk between the techie world and the business world and the management world.
Let me ask you about your thoughts for the future of the Department of Interior for the next 5 years, 10 years.
The Department of the Interior, it is a wonderful place. Let me say, first of all, I am so privileged to be able to be working here because it does manage all of America's treasures. I think as we look to the future at Interior, there will increasingly be a greater business management focus brought to bear as we manage those facilities. I think as I look on the horizon, we're going to see more cross-department integration. The bureaus will retain their independence and their personalities and their particular missions, but we're finding a need to work together more, have common business practices. In some instances, we're doing what's called co-location. We're putting, instead of Bureau of Land Management having one office and, let's say, our neighbors at Department of Agriculture and the Forest Service who are on lands right adjacent having another office, we're saying maybe we can work in the same facility together and jointly provide the services across a landscape which, by the way, doesn't respect jurisdictional boundaries. Invasive species run right across those boundaries. How do we work together? So integration, better integration, a business orientation, I think, is part of our vision for the future. And then just this performance focus, really steering towards asking that question of, have we got the job done? That's what I would see for the future of Interior.
What are the challenges of performing integration like the examples you described?
Each bureau has its own corporate culture. It's a little bit like doing mergers between companies. There are different corporate cultures, and transcending those corporate cultures and getting people to work together is a challenge. Sometimes it gets down to very simple technological things. One agency will have a phone system that is different from another agency's, and they can't call each other in the same office. So how do we figure out how to make that work? So there's technical barriers, there are cultural barriers, if you will. But we are finding really a lot of desire to have this more citizen-centered service as opposed to a bureau-centric focus, and people stepping up to the table saying, well, we can keep our unique characteristics, but where we have shared responsibilities, let's integrate our efforts to address them.
What advice would you give to a young person considering a career in public service at, say, the Department of Interior, for example?
The advice I would give to someone wanting a career in public service is that it's very important to have some sort of skill set that would be or you think would be applicable. You could be just passionate about environmental protection, for example, and that's a good thing, that's a good motivator. But ultimately, when push comes to shove, if you're going to serve in government, you're going to need to have those skills as a biologist, for example, or as an IT specialist, or as a, I would say, boy, there's a lot of room for folks with their business skills. So get yourself a skill set, and then that will allow you to find a good and useful place in the government. And by the way, there's almost no skill set that isn't relevant. We do so much at Interior or just across the other agencies. So there's almost no skill set that's irrelevant.
Well, Lynn, I'm afraid we're out of time. Ken and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation about management with Lynn Scarlett, Assistant Secretary for Policy Management and Budget at the U.S. Department of Interior. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research. You can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.
What made the Human Genome Project successful? Learn more about its critical success factors by reading the new endowment grant report, Managing Big Science, a case study of the Human Genome Project, by Professor Henry Lambright. For a copy of this report, visit our website at endowment.pwcglobal.com or call us at 703-741-1077.